Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of From the Hip. This is Dawn Burks. Today I'm being joined by culture critic Chris Wagner. You know, we like him up in the house.
Hello, Dawn Burks. And everybody else.
And everybody else. I know you've been missing us. Maybe we've been missing us too. I was in Florida doing some things, getting some sand out off my feet. But we're back. And while I was down there, DFW blew up.
Like the whole thing?
It felt like
it's gone. Oh, right.
I mean, right. Like, first it was like all of this violence, like a shooting here and a shooting there, and then a car flipping off an overpass there, and then the violent storms that followed. But Jordan Edwards, his name being added to that long list of names of young black men killed by police officers, that was striking.
Yeah, and that's very national news, especially. And I was frankly surprised that the murder charges came so quickly.
Me too.
I was glad,
right?
But I was also kind of surprised. Yeah, that was a crazy week. That was a crazy couple of days. It seemed like people were just getting shot left and right, which is kind of like most weeks in this country these days.
Right.
I might be writing something about that in the near future.
Okay. And I kept thinking to myself, there's something for someone to write something about, you know, and because the thoughts were just flying around and from everywhere. And we need someone to distill it for us and for the public to figure out what that general feeling is. I mean, there's a story we have on DallasNews.com right now by the wonderful Jen Emily, who joined me on the From the Hip not too long ago, and Dave Tarrant. And the headline is, does murder charge against cop who killed Jordan Edwards signal change or aberration? And that was a question that I kind of had myself, like, does this mean that people's attitudes, i.e. the DA or the police forces themselves, have changed towards how they look at these cases? Or is this just a city that confronted with so much evidence that this was the only thing they could do?
It was pretty clear cut.
It was.
It was one of those instances where I think they looked at the info and said, yeah, we got to just step up and do this.
Yeah, there's just no way. I mean, it was almost, I mean, it was sad in how almost comical it was, how blatant the evidence was in this.
Well, we went through a whole day thinking that the car was going towards the officer, and then we found out it was actually the opposite.
Right. It was that, and then he says, "I misspoke." It's like, so did you go by what someone told you or what you saw? It's like, you know, that falls under that thing that we, you know, did last time with things we wish were fake news. It's kind of like, really get your facts straight before you get up and talk in front of a bunch of people, especially trained journalists who are going to ask you questions that are detailed. We're not just going to take it at your word. Speaking of, Sean Spicer, White House press secretary today,
I just got a message from you that he was hiding in the bushes.
Yes.
And I was like, huh?
Ben, you saw that? Yeah. I mean, he was hiding in the bushes until they turned off the lights and turned off the cameras. He refused to appear on camera.
Was he really in the bushes?
He was actually behind some bushes.
Like outside?
Yes.
Wow. Maybe he likes nature.
Maybe. You know what? Maybe so. But I feel like I'm in a fugue state here. Like, I don't know what's going on anymore.
I've been in a fugue state for months. So don't worry about it.
I bet Comey's in one now. What's going on? I mean, they didn't even give this man the dignity of firing him to his face.
He found out on the TV.
Oh.
So everybody finds out everything these days.
That's true. Or I guess it's better than Twitter.
I was going to say, didn't find out on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, especially from, you know, our Twitter happy White House people. He very well could have found out that the FBI director was fired, you guys. And it's a lot of stuff going on. But you know what? We're going to talk about some happier things, I think, maybe.
American Gods.
Oh, my God.
Happy.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Very
happy. A tad violent.
A tad.
Happy.
It's quite bloody.
It's fiction, so that's good.
But, okay, if you don't know about American Gods, we are here to tell you. I have loved this book forever, well, since it came out. Neil Gaiman, master of just about everything, wrote this book called American Gods and Anansi Boys. And in this book, the gods of old are getting ready to engage in a war with the new gods.
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Thanks for spoiling it. I've only seen the first two episodes. I kind of figured that something was going down, though.
Right.
Because they seem to be assembling the squad for something.
Right. And that's what's happening. And I'm not really spoiling it too much, but thank you.
I'm supposed to know these things.
Maybe.
I didn't read the book. So.
And also, you know, you get the, when you hover over it, you know, on the website, it's on Stars, so you got to pay for it or get your 7-day trial on the app to watch the first episode because it started April 30th. And what's happening is the gods of old consist of the Norse gods led by Odin, of course, the Allfather. And then you've got some of the African gods, Anubis and
Besquith.
Yes, Besquith, who we think. She is phenomenal. She's going to steal this show.
I think she has already.
I mean, just her first scene, the first time you meet her, is amazing. The kids say what? Maybe they don't say it anymore. I was going to say amazeballs. I like the way it sounds.
I was going to say this would probably be a nice time to say this is not a show for the kids.
No, it's not. It's not. I put the baby to bed before I watched this one. And you know, I let her watch just about anything, but this one, Bilquis was, some scenes can be very hard to watch because of the graphic nature. About episode 3, it really goes there. It becomes an art installation.
The cool thing about her story so far is that it's mostly sex.
Yes.
It's not violence.
It's not violence.
There's plenty of violence as well. It's a pretty violent show. I love Ian McShane.
Yes.
I just want to like listen to Ian McShane swear. I could do that. Just like give me an album of Ian McShane dropping F-bombs, and I would listen to that all day.
I would listen to that too. I mean, the cast is really, really good. You've got Ian McShane playing a guy who's going by the name of Mr. Wednesday. You have Ricky Whittle, who was in The 100, which I really love on the CW. I love way too many shows on the CW. But he is not only good to look at, he's good at playing dumb.
He's good at playing what the hell is going on here.
Right.
Because that's kind of what his character
is. Right. He's good at playing clueless. His name is Shadow Moon. Upshot of it is Shadow Moon is having a very, very, very bad couple of days. He's been in prison. He's getting ready to get out. And nothing is as it seems. He starts seeing things. And he gets drawn into the service of Ian McShane's Mr. Wednesday. They meet a real live leprechaun, or is he?
Pablo Schreiber from The Wire.
Yes,
From the underrated second season of The Wire.
Is any of The Wire underrated?
A lot of people don't think season 2 is good. I heard that when BET showed The Wire, they skipped season 2. Which actually makes a little bit of sense, but I still love season 2.
Because you can.
And then, yes, Ben is saying season 4 is, I don't know what the best is. 4 is amazing, the school system. 3 is the political system with Carchetti. Sorry, we're getting off base here on The Wire.
But you know what? That's what we do. It's called From the Hip. I mean, I was thinking of the minute you said that. When a series is so good that you have to go within the series itself to judge it, you end up judging the series against itself. That's how you know a series is good. They did that with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's like the Cool Kids Table are seasons 1 through 4. Everybody else can just jump off a cliff, you know?
It's funny. We're trying to figure out which cable channels we can shed right now because we're trying to save a little money like everybody else. And there would be very little reason for me to watch Stars in the past. But Sunday, I looked at Kate, looked at my girl, and I was like, well, there's something on Stars that we want to watch. I guess we better add that to the keep list.
May I suggest Power?
What is that?
It's on Stars.
Okay.
It's produced.
You watch a lot of TV.
Well, of course I do. It's my title. I am TV writer. But Power is a serious, very serious. It's reminiscent of Empire, except it was first. 50 Cent produces in it. produced it. He also acts in it. I don't know if he's director in the episode yet, but Naturi Naughton is just like a tour de force in it, a tour de force performance. And it's basically this dude who has led this life of crime, and he's trying to go legit. And he's having an affair with an ADA who has vowed to take him down. It's like...
Also, the writer from The Wire was the creator of this. One of the creator of The Wire.
That's okay. Right. That's right.
Yeah, any Wire pedigree is good for me.
So, I mean, it can be really dark. It can be violent, but it's elegiac in a way because it's all about redemption of every character. And some characters are just unapologetic. So I'm going to suggest that, okay. And I'm going to walk away.
All right, more stars.
More stars, just so you can make it worth your while and worth your ducats. But so I was thinking about the other day, I wrote the story about now that Grimm has finished and the Vampire Diaries have finished, there are these other supernatural shows that people should watch. And on top of my list was American Gods, of course, because it's so good and it's so crazy and it's so violent. It's so everything. Corbin Burnson is showing up later as Vulcan.
Gillian Anderson.
Yes, Gillian Anderson plays Media. And then you've got Kristen Chenoweth playing Easter.
Peter Stormare from Fargo.
Yes.
The guy in The Wood Chipper.
And I cannot.
Oh, no, he's the guy who's putting Steve Buscemi in
The Wood Chipper.
Chipper.
Yes, yeah.
Correct.
Spoiler alert.
Well, that's like 20 years ago.
There are people still trying to watch it.
And we're talking about the movie, by the way, not the TV show.
Right, not the TV show. But everything's turning into a TV show, right?
I guess that's your little friend there in The Wood Chipper.
But I love the explanation of Jesus in this show.
Like, I don't think I've gotten there yet.
Oh, man.
How many episodes have you seen?
4.
Okay. I guess I've got those other two. I need to watch those.
Yeah, I've watched 4. And then, okay, so my top list there were American Gods, number one, of course. I love the originals. It's a spinoff of Vampire Diaries, but man, I love any show where somebody dies within the first 30 seconds of the show. I'm all in. And it's always a surprise and everything.
That happens in American Gods, I think.
I think so, too. Julie Plick makes every episode like a mini movie that leads you to part 2 of it and part 3 of it. She's really good at being a showrunner that way. And there's Lucifer, another Neil Gaiman, written thing that's been adapted for TV, except this one's fun and light and airy. The devil basically is tired of his job in hell, decides to quit, and he comes to Earth to run a nightclub.
Of course.
Yes, of course. Then there's Preacher, where Jesse Custer, a West Texas preacher, has found that suddenly he has the power of God.
What season are we on?
Season 2 okay. will start next month.
I watched some of season 1. Also, yeah. Really violent.
Really violent.
But good. Ruth Negga is in that.
Yes, Ruth Negga is Oscar nominated.
She was in Loving last year. Oscar mm-hmm. nominated for Loving.
And she's so good as Tulip. I mean, she's just, I think I wrote once that she can assemble a rocket launcher out of products that can be found in the home. And not must her manicure. I mean, I love this character. She's taking no prisoners. And then The Magicians, which is on Sci-Fi, where a lot of people kind of just, that's not for me. But it's totally not that. It's Hogwarts for the older kids.
What about Legion?
Legion, well, see, here's the rub.
I love Legion.
I love Legion, too. But Legion is in my list of superhero shows because of the X-Men pedigree, which a lot of people won't know.
Right, but it is, but it isn't. I mean, it is connected right. to the X-Men, but it feels like its own standalone, mm-hmm. very, kind of innovative, high-end fantasy television show. And it kind of starts out like American Gods with this guy kind of not knowing where these visions and powers are coming from and thinking he might be going a little nuts.
He doesn't even realize their powers at first. And that's the central storyline in the very first episode is the audience knows what's going on before he does.
Right.
And then he doesn't have a grasp on it. But it's so beautiful to watch. I mean, the optics in this thing are stunning.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of that show.
Yeah.
Dan Stevens. It's funny. I started watching it right after I saw Beauty and the Beast. And I was like, hey, he was okay in Beauty and the Beast.
Downton Abbey.
And then, I saw this. I was like, wow, this guy's a really good actor.
Yeah, he is. And I love how they're playing all of these characters that are in his head or out of his head or wherever they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that show Legion and American Gods make you feel like you're on drugs. You're not.
They do.
But you're sitting there and they have this very sort of hallucinatory quality where you're sitting there and you're kind of sharing that experience with these main characters who are trying to figure out what's going on.
You keep taking the words out of my mouth. I call the show a mind altering substance.
There you go.
Because I mean, things are happening and you're like, wait, what? And you kind of want to hit pause, but you're like, no, but if I hit pause, I'm going to miss something. So I need to keep going. It's but I mean, there's so much richness that they found in literature that they're now bringing to TV. And the supernatural is something that I think the way the effects have gotten out, that they're able to show it like they've never been able to show it before. And I'm in love with that.
Did you happen to see, this is totally different, but since we're going from the hip here.
Yeah.
I wanted to see One and Not Done, the new 30 for 30 about John Calipari.
No, I haven't seen that.
I really want to see that. I get the impression it's about, it's about the whole one and done NBA, college to NBA phenomenon, but I think it's focusing on Kentucky and Calipari.
I think I want to see that too, because I've always had, I used to be a sports reporter, for people who may not know that, and a sports copy editor and a sports editor, anyway, all that stuff. And I've always, since I started in this business in sports, I've always thought that one and done is a bad thing, because the pros are so much different than college ball.
See, I have many different mindsets about it. Because but my most basic mindset is that if you have a amazing mathematician coming out of high school who's just genius level, no one's going to tell him he has to go to college in order to get a job and make a living.
You make a
so
hard
if you have Dwight Howard
there.
Coming out of high school ready to, if he's already, if he's good enough, if you don't want to draft him, don't draft him. If you don't want to pay him, don't pay him.
Right.
But don't make them have this one token year in college because they're supposed to experience how great the university life is.
And see, that's the thing. That's my reasoning has never been that they need to experience how great the university is. My reasoning has been that they need to get stronger and faster, because that one step quicker can injure you. Like when Kevin Garnett came to the league, those guys, they got injured pretty quickly. And it was because they're suddenly playing. Karl Malone is a Mack truck.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, and they're suddenly, whereas they've been a god amongst men, now they're like little old Apollo just trying to make his way.
Well, that's why there's never even really consideration of football players coming out of high school to pros, because
they would
killed.
Die.
They would literally get killed.
They would die. Them, yes, they would die. But yeah, your argument actually is one I haven't heard before,
well,
and I like it.
That's just kind of my human being argument. As an NBA fan, I don't want to see a bunch of 18-year-olds running around trying to figure out what they're doing, but I don't know. I just feel like you got to have a right to make a living when you're ready to make a living.
Speaking of a right to make a living when you're ready to make a living, Lonzo Ball in the shoe.
Yeah, that we could do a whole thing on old Lonzo.
Yes, we could. But here's my take on this. I think whether he's successful or not, he's changing the paradigm.
For better or worse.
I'm not sure about that part yet.
I think his kid might have hell to pay at some point.
Yes, his kid is going to get knocked around. And his kid is going to have to be Jordan and NBA superstar LeBron James, because that's how he's known in my house. Got to say the whole thing like a Tribe Called Quest. So he's going to have to be all of them mixed up, all these greats mixed up together to live up to this legend that his father has already made and to live up to this shoe. I mean, no doubt there's some people with some spare money lying around who bought these, or he says bought the shoe because, I got a first edition this shoe.
What was that Public Enemy song from years ago? Politics of the Sneaker Pimps.
Yes. Yeah.
That rest my case.
And, well, he just decided, you know what? I'm not going to let them I'm not going to let them pimp my son. I'm going to do it.
That's true. I give him the entrepreneurial credit.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, people are saying his name in the same breath as Richard Williams, and I don't know if, I mean, overarching, yeah, I can see the sameness that people might want to claim, but not really.
I never think it's a good thing when an athlete's parents mm-hmm. are being talked about more than mm-hmm. the athlete, especially before the athlete has logged a single professional minute.
Before the athlete has done one thing. I mean, the NBA could do to him what the NFL did to Charlie Ward. Oh, you daring us? We just won't draft him.
No, they'll draft him.
I know. Believe me, I know. Because one thing the NBA is not going to do is stand on any morals or laurels.
He will not fall past number two.
Right.
He's going to be one or two. It's him or Markelle Fultz.
The NFL is the Tiffany of the leagues, but NBA is like, hey, I'm going to do this.
I think Benjamin is joining us.
Yes, he is.
So the shoe situation is interesting. Literally, mm-hmm. I was back there scrolling, and the game just said he bought a whole bunch of pairs for his sons and family and friends.
Yeah.
But I think when you really look at the aspect of it, is we're living in a social media world.
Yeah.
So if you ever look at anything the dad is on, it's going viral.
Mm-hmm.
The same message a million times, but it's going viral. So this might just be another ripoff of the sports aspect of social media. And we haven't seen this yet. And now it's like we're watching the Kendall Jenner. What's the mother's name? Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
Of the sports family. You know, he's just the first person to ever tackle it, and just in a social media way. So it'll be kind of interesting to see, because he has two more sons. That's the crazy
part.
That's
the thing. He's got two more sons. Yeah. So that means that he's using this son as a test case. Bless his heart. He's like a lab rat. He's using this son as a test case to perfect it for the other two. Though, from what I'm hearing from people who should know, Lonzo is the class of the bunch. Not Lonzo. Anyway, his son.
Yeah, Lonzo.
Lonzo. See, the thing is, I would mix up his dad's name with his all the time when I'm just talking in the street or whatever, because his dad's the one that's out there, out front, and Lonzo's not saying much of anything because he knows at some point that he has to go in a locker room and somebody's going to challenge him about it, or he's going to get a nickname from it.
Probably already got one.
They're probably waiting for him. So we've got this thing. We're going to leave you with things that we want you to watch for further discussion next time.
It's kind of what we've been doing.
That is. I know, right? So
we're going to do it some more.
Because look, I have watched 6 episodes of Dear White People on the Netflix. Is it on the Netflix?
It's on the Netflix.
Dear White
People. I like how you added the too.
I could not stop watching. It's as if my eyes glazed. It's as if my eyes were propped open with some sticks. I could not stop watching because, okay, the movie itself was okay. It was fine for what it was. I realized
it was a first-time feature.
Yeah, it was a first-time feature. And I realized that he went for archetype. He meant to do that. What he's able to do with the series is dedicate each episode of this series to getting deeper into why the character is the way they are.
Each character, too.
That's
really impressive. I mean, the first episode's about Samantha, the DJ, and you think, you know, you're going to follow her. And then the second episode's about Lionel.
Right.
The nerdy young journalist.
And then he comes back to Lionel later.
Yeah.
And it's just like really...
There's an episode about Troy.
Yeah.
It's an episode about Reggie. I'm really impressed with the structure.
God. And the episode, and then when he flips it, and the episode is about the one white guy, you know, who's become a central character, it's like, whoa, all you people out there who are saying, if there were a show called Dear Black People, they would never let that happen. Honey, it's a satirical look at how we're all interacting together. It ain't about you.
I think, but you said it better than I could. I like the way it plays with time, too. It'll show one storyline, and then the next episode it kind of shows the same, at least the first two episodes, it shows the same storyline from a different perspective.
Right.
So they kind of overlap and you kind of know what's going on, but it gets that very subjective experience. I just really like Justin too, Justin Simeon.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. I like his work. I like what he's doing. I like that he was able to pull this off. And, you know, and people were saying this when it came, when the movie came out too. It reminds me, it's like a souped up, and I mean that in a good way, more sophisticated version of School Days.
I knew you were going to say that because...
Without all the musical numbers.
Without all the musical
numbers. Which I really liked. I liked the musical numbers.
And there's no one yelling, wake up.
Yet.
But they might as well be seeing it with every frame. That's the thing, is that it reminds me of early Spike Lee when there was something to say, something needed, and he's like subverted it a little bit, flipped it over a bit, modernized it, and it's really, really a good watch. Best thing about it is you don't have to wait between the episodes. You can just stream, run straight through them.
And they're pretty short.
And they're pretty short because they move so fast and so much is happening.
I saw somebody pointed out that this is a show, a streaming show, where they figured out how long each episode should be. So you can actually, you know, gobble up a whole bunch of them without saying, oh, no, I should be out doing something productive with my life.
Right. Because I will say sometimes I watch Orange is the New Black, no shade, and I'm like, man, I got to devote 48 minutes of my life to this.
And then you want to watch another one.
And then you want to watch another one.
You're looking at feature film length.
Right.
Sitting on the couch.
And then your time is gone and your legs are dead.
Could be reading a book.
You could be
taking a walk.
Right. You could be reading a comic. I mean, or you could be washing dishes. I don't know. Just pick something. I've been watching I Love Dick on Amazon. Interesting here. Okay, I have a question for the creators of this show.
Is that the Nixon biopic? Sorry.
Stop it. Walk away from the microphone. No, it's... My question is, why do y'all keep trying to make Kevin Bacon a sex symbol?
Who's y'all? I'm not trying to make Kevin
Bacon. Not y'all. I said to the creators
is
of
he
the
in
show...
It?
He's Dick.
So I don't know anything about this. Obviously.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about. His name is Dick Richard, but everyone calls him Dick. He runs an artist commune in Marfa, Texas. And he has invited this one character's husband to be a fellow at the artist commune. She is on her way to Venice to a film festival.
Hey, now.
And she's going to drop him, her husband, off in Marfa and then fly to Venice.
Well, I need to watch it because I'm going to be going to Venice.
Right, see. But you're going to Venice. I can't even get them to send me to Austin.
They're not sending me. I'm on a panel.
You're on a panel. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I get to officially represent the newspaper without the newspaper paying for it.
So now I got the way I can do that. Okay. All right.
Panels. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Dick is a dick. Sorry.
You mean that's his name?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's also an awful human being.
Oh.
He's a misogynist. She ends up staying on in Marfa, the filmmaker does, and first time she sees Dick, she is smitten, even though her husband's right there. And they have dinner, and Dick spends most of the time telling her how women cannot be artists.
Kevin Bacon is really good at playing a smarmy jerk.
He is.
And I know that's not who he is
in real life.
I actually hear he's a pretty cool guy, but he's really good at that.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost too good at it because I was like wanting to throw things at the screen. But the thing is, they're turning him into this, trying to turn him into this sex symbol that no one can get enough of. And it's like.
Maybe that's part of the joke.
Maybe. But I'm going to say this. I'm saying all of that to then say that he's a hell of an actor because I'll be damned if you don't start feeling the way she feels about him.
There you go.
And the husband. So it's worth a try. Don't blame me if you don't like it. Maybe you just don't like bacon. And who doesn't like bacon?
Bacon's good.
Bacon's good. And you've watched Chappelle's new stuff.
I'm surprised it took me so long to watch. There are two stand-up shows on Netflix. Mm-hmm. They're old news by now, but I caught up with them, and they're still on.
Well, and there's another one coming, right?
There's supposed to be
three.
And there are two so far. The first one's a stand-up set in L.A. The second one is a stand-up set in Austin. I really like the second one. The first one, It's funny, and I feel like, you know, we're seeing a good stand-up comic, but I don't feel like I'm seeing the genius that we've gotten used to. And the second one, he seems more relaxed, and he seems to kind of let things fly a little bit more. So yeah, I think I said on Twitter, the first one is funny, the second one is laughing, crying funny.
Okay.
You kind of feel like he's still got some of that fire.
Right.
He's such a complicated guy, and his story is just so fascinating. And he flew so close to the sun on that TV show,
and there came out Icarus reference.
Yeah, he came out differently.
Yeah. Could it be my thoughts? I've kind of stayed away from it. It's kind of like it took me a long time to watch the series finale for Buffy the Vampire Slayer and several other things because I didn't want to be disappointed, and so I've kind of stayed away from this because I didn't want it to tarnish what I remember.
It's not. You should watch it. He's still very funny.
Okay.
Especially
because I know he worked on his earlier stuff with co-writers.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to say this. He is a pro. Mm-hmm. He is a stand-up comedian. Okay. And this is him showing why he's a pro.
Okay.
This is him showing his chops as a stand-up. And so a lot of people know him from Chappelle's Show. And not so much from the stand-up. You can tell he's been working on his stand-up pretty hard. And he's got the polish and he's got the timing. He's always had these things. But it's nice to be reminded.
It is. It's nice to be reminded without him having to pull together a concert in the middle of a street to remind people that he's pretty funny.
And he's really good at making fun of himself.
Okay. That's something I did not expect. Because the hubris that it felt... he had to just walk away from what could have been an empire. Although him doing that seemed to open the way for all these other comedians to get what they wanted. Like we've got Gerard Carmichael with his own show on NBC, which is rather good, actually. The Carmichael Show is coming back this summer. They're showing reruns now. And then you've got Jerry Seinfeld, who's been around forever, but then he's like, you know, in a car getting coffee with people, and Amy Schumer doing her own thing. Everyone's kind of doing it their own way, but it almost took him to buck the system to open it back up again.
You see that piece, I think it was in the Times on Sunday, about Chris Rock's brothers, who were both two of them are stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
That was really interesting about how they're, you know, trying to carve out their own. It's, you know, an old story, trying to carve out your own identity, not being in your brother's shadow, but... It's interesting how they're doing it, how they're not trying to accept help from him, and how the name can be both a curse and a blessing. They're just trying to do their own thing, their own comedy.
And Tony Rock is everywhere on, like he's on Man and Wife. David and Tamla Mann, who are from Fort Worth, they have a sitcom on Bounce TV. And Tony Rock co-stars on that. And Tony Rock will show up on a TV show in a minute, and it takes you a minute to make the connection that, hey, I know this dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he reminds you of his brother.
Yeah, Tony's the younger one. I think Jordan is the older one. We are getting to wrap it up.
We are.
Signal from Mr. Benjamin
there. You guys, I wish you could see it. It looks like a little Saturday Night Fever back there. he's there. Or Roll It Up, My Homies. Roll It Up. Do you guys remember that song? Anyway, I'm getting loopy. I think we've given you a lot to watch and a lot to think about. Check us out. Check out the stories we talked to you about. DallasNews.com, GuyLive.com. We want you to tell us what you're watching, too. And one of these days, I'm going to open up a mailbag on the show and answer any questions you might have. So hit me up on the Twitter.
Most questions you might have.
Yeah,
maybe not any questions.
maybe not any questions. At my discretion. Anyway, this is From the Hip at Still From the Hip on Twitter, at Still From the Hip on Facebook, and everywhere else through DallasNews.com and GuyLive.com. Again, it's Dawn Burks wishing you happy trails. Bye-bye. Peace.